Das Chazor sagt, nicht Baruch Hat geschlagen, wenn wir Yehudim Sethech Ksubas Daf Nun Gimel. Fragt nun mal, Rav Yehme Saba Esra of Nachman, if a woman sells her rights to the Ksuba to her husband, does she still retain the right of Ksubas Pinin Dichterin? Rava said, you should ask the question regarding a woman who is Michael or Ksuba, which is a more common occurrence. Rav Yehme said, I asked the case of a sale, which we would say that maybe she was forced to do for the money, and that's why I had my question. However, when she's Michael and was not forced, she would clearly lose her rights of Ksuba's Pinin Dichterin. Rava answered, it's obvious to me that when a woman sells her Ksuba to other people, that's done out of financial pressures, and she therefore retains the Pinin Dichterin. And when she's Michael to her husband, she loses the Pinin Dichterin. Rava asked, if a woman sells her Ksuba to her husband, is that treated like a sale to someone else, or is that like being Michael to the husband? Rava later answered that it's treated as if she sold it to someone else. Rav Yehuda Bar-Avan asked, a Mishnah teaches that when a woman gets married based on a single witness's testimony that her husband died, and the husband then appears, she has to get divorced from both husbands, loses her ksuba, and none of the Yarshim inherit her ksuba. Rav Papa explained that this second mention of the ksuba refers to the fact that she loses the rights to Benin Dichrin. Rav Edi therefore asks, we can say that she was forced into this because of the desire to get money, and we see that she still loses Benin Dichrin. So the same should be when she is forced to sell for money. The Gemara says that Mishnah is based on a penalty, and therefore no proof can be brought from over there. Ravin Bar Chanina said in the name of Elazar, if a woman is Moichel or Ksuba to her husband, she's not entitled to support as a widow. Rav Chista told him, if you would not have said that in the name of a great person, I would have disagreed. Dr. Gemara, a husband once came and asked whether he's chayv to bury his Arusa who had died. The Rabbanan who were there told him that he has to bury her or pay her ksuba. Rechia said to them, we learned in a brisa that teaches that one does not inherit his arusa, and as such, he should not be chayiv to bury her either. Rav in the name of Shlokesh said, an arusa does not have the right of burial by her husband. Abaye said, this halacha was already taught to us by Rav Hoshaya. The Mishnah said, Benon Nukvan, the Yehevian Lechi, Minoi, Vechulu. Rav taught the Mishnah that the daughters are supported until they marry, and Levi taught that it's until they become a begeris. The Gemara says everyone agrees that marriage or begeris stops the support. Machlekes is regarding an arusa who is not a begeris. Rav would hold the support would stop, and Levi would say it continues until nesuin or until she becomes a begeris. We find this machlekes between Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Isa as well. Rabbi Yosef taught Rabbi Isa that they are supported until they're in a state of marriage. Does this refer to Erisin or Nesuin, though? Teiku bleibt das Shailah. Rav Chista asked Rav Yosef, did you hear from Rabbi Yehuda whether a daughter who became an Arusa still gets supported from her father's estate? He answered, I have not heard, but logic dictates that she's no longer supported because her husband will certainly not allow her to go around begging and will provide for her. Rav Chista said, logic would dictate that she should get supported because her husband, who is still unsure whether to take her in Nesuin, will not yet be willing to support her. Another version has a logical argument, same ones, but reversed as to who said them. Fractimar, they asked Rav Sheshes, does a girl who did Miyun receive support from her father's estate? He answered that there's a brisa in which the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda argue, but seem to be saying the same thing. Machlokes can be understood as being whether a girl who has done Miyun would be supported by her father's estate. We see that the question is Machlokes among Tanoim. Rish Lakish asked, does a daughter of a Yavama from the Yavam get supported from her father's estate? Do we say that since the Yavama is supposed to collect her ksuba from the first husband's estate, the same would be for this daughter? Or do we say that since the Yavama collects from the Yavam, if the first husband had no estate, then Shitaka does go to the Yavam, so maybe this daughter collects from him as well. Teiku bleibt das Shailah. But Lazar asked, does the daughter of a marriage which was usher as a shnia get supported by her father's estate? Do we say that since the mother doesn't get a ksuba, the daughter also doesn't get supported? Or do we say that the mother is penalized because she did something wrong, but the daughter is not penalized? Teiku bleibt das Shailah. Rava asked, does the daughter of an arusa from an illicit bia with her arus get supported by her father's estate? Do we say that since the mother has a ksuba, the daughter is entitled to support? Or do we say that since the ksuba was really instituted after Nesuin, this daughter does not get supported? Teiku bleibt das Shailah. Rav Papa asked, does the daughter of a woman who was violated get supported? The mother was violated as a nara and then married by that violator. The question is, according to the Rabbanan who say that this woman does not get a ksuba, she got the penalty payment in the place of a ksuba. So do we say, and why does she get it? Because he's not allowed to divorce her in any case. That's why she doesn't need a ksuba. She doesn't get a ksuba in addition. So do we say that the daughter therefore doesn't get supported either because there's no ksuba? Or maybe not. Maybe she does get supported over here. Teiku bleibt das Shailah.